Welcome to the February 28th edition of the First EPC Sermon Podcast. If you've spent much time at First EPC or have listened to this podcast for very long, you're aware that our church places a great deal of emphasis on missions. We actively support missionaries serving all over the world and send groups to serve regularly. This week, we hear from the most recent trip to Mexico. In addition to the trip's leader, Dr. Stuart Anderson, you will hear testimonies from first-time participants Shirley Harris, Addie Aspen, Andrew Melnar, Amelia Blakely, as well as Youth Director Brad Stamp. Here with more information about the trip and to introduce the group is Dr. Anderson.
Good morning. We're going to take up the sermon time this morning to hear from some of the people that were on the mission trip. I just wanted to share a couple of things with you before we start that. First of all, I want to say thank you to this body of believers for sending us. Every year, more than every year, several times a year, this church is very faithful to send missionaries to various places. You send us with your prayers, you send us with your financial support, and from all of us and the people down there, I say thank you. They thank you for sending us to help them and to allow us to do things down there. There are a lot of churches who, believe it or not, don't do this. They're, for whatever reason, they're afraid, they don't want to step out, they don't want to reach out, but they don't. And this church is continually sending people out, and that's a testimony to the faithfulness of this church. I also bring you greetings from Desiderio and Noemi, his wife, and from our sister church down there. They greet all of you. They want you to know that they love you and that they are thanking you for allowing us to come and to help them. But they specifically wanted me to bring greetings to all of you. I'll just share a couple of things. It was really pretty scary, actually, when we first went down, because we got stopped at the border for 2 hours because of a box of rocks. We took some rocks, a box of about, 80 pounds of rocks, all painted with Jesus loves you. Well, the Border Patrol people could not fathom why we were bringing a box of rocks into Mexico that said Jesus loves you. They searched the trailer. They got this box of rocks out. You have to go through this scanning thing, and they found this something really dense in the middle of the trailer, and it was a box of rocks. So they made us get the rocks out, and then they brought out a drug sniffing dog, and they were going around. That was the scariest thing that happened. They let us go in with the rocks. We didn't bring them back. When we were having our meetings before we went, we met multiple times just to talk about what is it to be a missionary? What does God want us to do? How does it look for people like us who are not missionaries to go and do this? And we talked about being the body and the face of Christ. And that, of course, that happens wherever we are. We are all the body of Christ. We are the face of Christ. We talked about how sometimes in most circumstances where we are in our daily lives, we may be the only face of Christ that a person may see. And what does that look like? How do we do that? We talked about how we are individual members of the body of Christ, because the physical body of Christ is not here yet. So we are that body, and we are that face of Christ. We don't go really as evangelists. You know, you think of missionaries going and evangelizing to people who are lost. And that's not the purpose of this mission. The purpose of this mission is for us to go, to come alongside and to help those who are evangelizing. We don't have the language skills to go there and evangelize on the streets. But we're helping the people that do. And that means a lot to them to have us come every year to come alongside them and to help them. In 1 Corinthians 12, 27 through 31, it talks about the body of Christ. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers in miracles, then healers, helpers, administrators, speakers in various tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? We talked about how God has brought together really different people. And, you know, and the team that he put together for this trip, we're all really different. And we all have different gifts and different skills. And God was able to use those. You know, he talks about apostles and evangelists and preachers. But we had painters. We had artists. We had people who were cutting and nailing shingles. We had people who were picking up shingles. We had people who were picking up nails. We had people who were making flowers for Bible school. We had people who were writing Bible verses on pieces of paper in Spanish for Mexican kids to memorize. That's all part of the body, and it all works together to make the mission happen. God orchestrates that, and he did that for us. That's about all I want to say to begin. I've asked some of the team members, especially the new ones, if they want to come up and say something about how they saw God working this week. Were you going to talk, Amelia? Shirley will come. Do you want to talk in that one?
I am prepared because I felt God wanted me to go on this trip. But I dug my heels in. I thought, I will go, I will work, I'll do whatever I can, but I will not stand up there and talk after I come back. I'd rather be over there playing a solo. But I could not refuse to speak. I was so blessed this week by seeing God work. And we, as Stuart said, we did talk a lot about how God worked and how we saw him working. So I just jotted down a few points. I realized that in going there, I had more of an opportunity to see God working than I do at home. I know God works within our church. I do see it. But just being away and being with other people who love the Lord was a great blessing to me. And I could really, my eyes were open to the opportunities that we had. One thing that blessed me was seeing the camp, because I'd never seen it before. We've all seen the pictures. But thinking about the hand that our whole church has had in building that camp. It was mentioned sometime that Larry Miles and Larry Haley built those bunk beds. Somebody had worked and gotten mattresses donated from Choate. I think Kent drove them down at one point. So that was a blessing. At the camp, there's the story of Aaron Bierman, and I think many of you have heard of him. He's the one that originally had the dream for the camp, and he passed away, what, 3-4 years ago? His widow, Olga, still is working there, but there was a printed story about Aaron and his faith, and that really blessed me, actually being there and seeing what Aaron had done. Another blessing, another way I saw God, was seeing George and Jan, who came to the camp. And for those of you who don't know, they're the missionaries that really have sponsored and take care of the Vamanos Ministries. They told their story to us once again about how they had no money, only their faith, and yet God worked by bit, sending the money that they needed to build this camp. Seeing the love and appreciation expressed to all of us from the people that we were working with, only God could have moved them to thank us over and over for what we were doing. And I think Stuart said this, but only God could have joined this group together. the young people, I look right at them, I loved you guys. They were interested in us. I got a chance to sit with some of them and just talk one morning as we were working on those VBS flowers, and they asked me questions about myself. I got to know them in a way I never would have just seeing them at church every Sunday. I see them, but we don't interact much. So that was a real blessing, and I think only God could have done that. I saw Brad and Tammy and how they have worked and have prepared these kids so well to serve the Lord, and they know what they were doing. So I want to thank Brad and Tammy, as always, for doing that. One of the biggest ways I think I saw God was meeting a pastor named Isidro, who Tammy had met back in December, late December. He's a Mexican pastor who came to the camp. He played his accordion for us, and I think that freaked some of the kids out. Probably never heard an accordion. We were able to worship with him, but then he talked to us with George translating. And Isidro said that because of this church sending people year after year after year, he was inspired to lead his congregation to go further south in Mexico and do mission work. And that, to me, is what God does with missions. He blesses people through missions, and then we, in turn, can go on and do mission work. And I loved that he shared with us. You know, I love music, and music speaks to me always. It's definitely a means of worship for me. And last Sunday, first of all, I saw God there as we worshiped. We made a circle every evening, and we had hard questions to answer about the day, and then we worshiped together. And I loved that part. I definitely saw God there. But then last Sunday, when we came back before some of the people driving, so last Sunday we sang "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name," a hymn which I love. But I heard a verse last Sunday that I've never really heard. And it was, we said this in the song: "Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all." And that first line just struck me because yonder is a word we don't use anymore, but I remember my grandmother using that word. "I'm going to go over yonder." It meant somewhere away from home. And thinking that we had worshiped a week ago with yonder sacred throng, and here we were back, and I still think of our sister church there, and that was wonderful. I've been looking at Ezekiel 34 during this week. And it's a prophecy, of course, from Ezekiel. And part of the end of the chapter, I want to read to you because I see what our friends in Mexico need from the Lord. We need this too. And, of course, it's a prophecy about Israel. And this probably won't come true until we all get to heaven. But this is my prayer for the Mexican people from Ezekiel 34:25. Through 31. "I will make a covenant of peace with them and rid the land of wild beasts so that they may live in desert and sleep in the forest in safety. I will bless them and the places surrounding my hill. I will send down showers in season. There will be showers of blessing. The trees of the field will yield their fruit and the ground will yield its crops. The people will be secure in their land. They will know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and rescue them from the hands of those who enslaved them. They will no longer be plundered by the nations, nor will wild animals devour them. They will live in safety, and no one will make them afraid. I will provide for them a land renowned for its crops, and they will no longer be victims of famine in the land, nor bear the scorn of the nations. Then they will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the sovereign Lord. You are my sheep, The sheep of my pasture are people, and I am your God, declares the Sovereign Lord. And I might just add, I was never afraid. It just never entered my mind to be afraid. A little nervous at the border crossing when we sat there for 2 hours, but I was never afraid. We didn't see anything to make us afraid. So if any of you are considering going, go. There's nothing to fear. And I also want to thank the congregation for being such a sending church. I've been part of the sending, and now I was blessed to be part of the going. Thank you.
Well, I really don't have anything planned right now. So, going to Mexico, I've pretty much grown up with it, like, always in the background of my life because my parents have gone, our church has gone for so long, and I've grown up here, so. I love going on mission trips because I just love, like, helping people. Both my parents went. You couldn't tell. Right there. And I'm a teenager, you know, so I wasn't too, like, thrilled about them going. I'll admit it. But it was probably really good having them there because one of the days I was not feeling that great. And so my mom became, like, instant mom. I looked at you, Tammy. So she was like, just stay here, you know, while they go and work on the roof, you can just go sleep for a little bit. I'm not going to live that down, Tammy. So that was nice because I'm like the motherly figure along with like 20 other people. We've made so many friendships there, whether it was within our group or within the community that we went and worked at. My favorite part of the trip was Vacation Bible School because I really, okay, this might sound a little bad, but I don't really like the real little kids. I'm just, like, scared that I'm going to, like, hurt them somehow, okay? I don't know how, but I'll, like, drop them or I don't know. Now I'm never going to be able to work in nursery. But I think I, like, became really close with a lot of the kids. My voice is, like, shaking. I'm not sure why. But I definitely grew close with a kid named Donnie, who is UC's little brother. And we, like, he speaks a little English. I speak very little Spanish. And so it was kind of hard to communicate, but, like, we had so many people that could help translate for each other. And it wasn't just with Donnie, it was with all the other kids, which made it, like, very easy for us to be able to talk to them and learn about them and their lives. And at the end of the trip on Friday, when we were leaving the church, I might cry in this part. Donnie's mom came up to me, and she hugged me and said in, like, perfect English, thank you for loving on Donnie and being there for everyone, and we were all there. Now I'm crying. It's the only time I cry. But when she hugged me, it felt like everything we did and everything we said and were there for made perfect sense. And so I feel like UC's mom made the trip for me. That's it. Sorry for crying.
Hello. So mine is very short, but there were some differences in the group at the beginning of the trip. For example, some of us like to sing Disney songs, and some of us don't. So, but at the beginning of the trip, I was like, well, this isn't good. But it all turned out okay. And I thought it was really cool how we all worked together as a team, and we all came in with a lot of differences, and we were all our own people, but we all had the same priority. We were all focused on working and doing God's work. And so because we all had the same priorities, we did really amazing things. And that's all I have to say.
Hello. I don't usually go to this church, but I've been on the mission trips here, and I've gone to Tunica twice. And so whenever I was offered to go to Mexico, I thought, okay, great. It's another place to go. I like traveling. I like meeting new people. And that's all I kind of put thought into it. I really didn't have any expectations. I really wasn't scared. I don't know if that's because I'm just naive about Mexico, or I was just like, oh, well, whatever happens, happens. But coming into Mexico, I was just expecting us to work. Like, I wasn't expecting to actually, like, I don't know how to put this. Like, I just didn't, I was just going to go through the motions, and I was just going to kind of take it as it came. And it was a really good decision, because the moment I got to Mexico, I just opened myself up, and I just kind of let, like, God flow through me, which I think is best for me. And it was, with that, I was able to see how we all put God first and, like, the team, and how we all were just able to find our, like, jobs, and we never had to, like, I never stood around and felt unproductive. I always found something to do, and I think that was, that's just something that had never happened in Tunica before, because in Tunica, I came into the mindset of, okay, I'm going to be really productive, and I'm going to, you know, help these people, but in reality, you know, it's just a different dynamic. When Tunica, you're a youth, and so you have adults, you know, kind of like your bosses, like, you know. And then in Mexico, it was up to me to say, okay, I can do this, I can do that, and I like being independent. And so I felt like I could only feel that through God, and that God gave me that, like, boost for me to stand on. And I think that was really important. And then for us all to, like, work together was just really amazing to feel. And then being able to see the people that go to the church, they were so thankful and so generous. And I think that's just something that I had never seen before. I had never seen people just give so much of their time and so much of their resources to help us and to say thank you and to serve us back. And I think that was really important, and that really struck me in a way that I had never felt. And I think that it was, it gave me a different perspective on people and on life, and it was really valuable. And again, with Shirley, I feel like if you ever want to go, I think it'd be a great decision, because it just shows you a different lifestyle. And although they might not have, like, the structure that we have in our country, they are blessed in so many different ways that it's kind of unbelievable. And it's really cool to watch. And, yeah, I'm really excited to go next year. So it was really cool. Yeah.
I'm not a first-timer, but I asked Stuart if I could break a rule and just say something briefly. In the bulletin, it shares who our first-time people going this year were. I just wanted to, before we left, I actually had and we actually talk about this in our team meetings, and when Stuart asks this question last year and this year, I thought, who would even think that? But I was actually asked this question twice leading up to our trip. Why go? Why spend all of this money to send a group when we could just take all the money that we spend on airfare and vans and those things and just send it directly to the church. Pretty sure Desiderio's church could find a lot of use for the thousands of dollars that we send down there. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. We do need to support other churches and missionary people that are, you know, doing it. But if you go on a trip, you will never ask why go. It's also why go into our communities when I could just write a check to someone else who's doing it. Now, sometimes your job is to write a check or to pray for someone or to say, Jim, you know, do a good job. But other times it's to go. And we are fulfilling the Great Commission, which is to go. But like Stuart said, we're also supporting missionaries and ministers on the ground wherever we're going, whether it's Tunica or Mexico. And the other thing, and I just wanted to share this because this came out last week. I gave the youth a chance to sort of share their experiences at D Group. And Mackenzie, who's not here this morning, Mackenzie Boguette, said that she gets really annoyed because I say a lot in youth group, you guys are ministers wherever you are. If you're at a high school, as a high school student, that's where God's called you to minister. If you're in college, that's where God's called you to minister. And Mackenzie admitted last week, she's like, it drives me crazy and it really annoys me that you say that all the time, Brad. But it clicked on this trip for her, she said, that it's so true. Wherever God has you, that's where he's called you to minister. And so that's just, we sometimes at the end of these trips give each other challenges, and that's my challenge to you as a body, to the team, to me, to all of us, that we do support people on these trips, but we also, these trips are inspiring adults and young people and our church to live out the call that God has put on all of our lives. We have a 19-year-old young man in Swaziland, Africa right now because of mission trips. Jada is going to do a mission soon, which I don't know if that's supposed to be public knowledge, but it's happening. Surprise. She knows about it. But also, I'm doing my job because this church took mission trips in high school. These kids are sitting here on Sunday morning because this church took mission trips. They're ministering in their communities as FCA leaders, as just a student, a good student in class or at home because of mission trips. These adults are all ministers in their whatever their daytime vocation is. So that's my challenge to you, is to just remember. I think mission trips, like Stuart said, some churches don't do this. This is so commonplace, like Addie said, for our church, because we have just done missions for years and years and years. But there is nothing special about people that go on mission trips. They're just called to a different mission field. And I don't know, I just felt the need to share that this morning to encourage you all. God has called you to where you're supposed to be, and don't diminish that. Don't think you have to go somewhere away. We need people in Union County. My goodness, we need people in Union County. You all know that. We need people in this church. So I'll stop talking.
Okay, just to wrap it up, the people that you saw here, we're actually missing eight. There were eight more people on this trip than the people that you saw here. Kenzie Boguette is away today. Jamie Markovic is away today. And Rick Vicenzi is away today. Those are three from our group. We also had Jeff and Ellie Clendenin, who are now living in Indiana. And we had three friends from Seattle, Washington. Jenny Basio, who's been with us for 3 years in a row, brought two of her friends, Sherilyn Shadeau and her daughter Daniela. So they were all part of this team. Excuse me while I drop things. Going back to the body and the face of Christ idea, in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, Paul says, his gifts were that some should be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, some flower makers, some roofers, some electrical people, for the equipment of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the cunning of men, by their craftiness and deceitful wiles. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by every joint with which it is supplied, when each part is working properly, makes the bodily growth and upbuilds itself in love. So the body works together. You are working with this team. We're working with the Mexicans. They're working down south. And this body, one day, right now we're separated by our individualism. We're separated by languages. We're separated by borders that we created. But one day, this body is going to be one. There's not going to be any more language. There's not going to be any more borders. And we won't have to see the face of Christ in each other, because we're going to see the face of Christ face to face, all of us. And we'll be worshiping him in one language. Everyone. So I leave you with that.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from God's Word. Tune in again next week for another sermon from the pulpit of First EPC in Anna, Illinois. Be sure and visit us on the web at www.firstepc.org or on Facebook at facebook.com/firstepc. Thanks for listening. This has been a production of First Evangelical Presbyterian Church of Anna, Illinois. Until next time, may God bless.